Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Tonight may be one of those nights that you hear what you've never heard before. This celebration of St. John before the Latin gate is a historic celebration within our Lutheran confessions, our Lutheran church. But being restored in the process of digging back through those old Lutheran lectionaries and restoring it back to where it belongs. This has been celebrated by Christians through centuries on the 6th of May. Now, what is St. John before the Latin gate? You can see a picture on the cover of your bulletin. You see John standing in a vat of oil, and you can see the fire underneath it heating up that oil. Now, undoubtedly, somewhere you had heard the tradition that St. John was attempted to be martyred, that the 11 were martyred apart from John, but that John survived the martyrdom attack, that he was placed before this Latin gate, this Latina Porta, on the 6th of May in the year 95. Under the persecution of Domitian, John was attempted to be killed. We didn't want him around anymore. He kept proselytizing. He kept shouting out his religion, his faith, his hope. His gospel was present. His epistles were present. And sometime after this, God would give him that divine revelation. John was attempted to be martyred, at least that's the church tradition, but he survived. There had been a lot of contention about John. You've heard me talk in the past about the things that he would say about Peter in his gospel lesson. And you can see Peter asking Jesus outright about John. Lord, what about him? I know that I have fallen thrice, and I know that you have forgiven me thrice. When you consider that correspondence between Jesus and Peter, what does Peter hear from Jesus? Peter, do you love me? And when you look in the Greek, it's agape. It's that unconditional love. Peter cannot agree to that. And so he says, Lord, you know that I philo, love you as a brother. Once again, Jesus says, Peter, do you agape? Do you love me this way? And Peter says, Lord, you know that I philo you. I love you as a brother. And then Jesus says to him, Peter, do you philo me? Do you love me as a brother? And Peter cries, Jesus having to come down to his level. And he says, Lord, you know that I love you. But Peter says, what about him? What about that guy that outran me? What about that guy who was reclining on your breast? What about him? Jesus says, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. His point is, don't worry about John. I will take him when I am ready to take him. You focus on you. You focus on leading. You focus on that rock, that confession that the Holy Spirit had given you. But from that time, this went out among the brethren that this disciple, this John, would not die. And so the tradition is that he was boiled alive, but he would not die. And because he was unwilling to die, and not by his own means, but that Jesus had not quite finished what he had given for him, St. John survives. And instead he is exiled on Patmos. And it is on that island that he receives that divine revelation, the apocalypse, the end of days. He is given that as a vision. Jesus said, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" John remained until Jesus gave that revelation, gave an account of what was to come, gave an account of the rise of the Antichrist, gave the account of the great apostasy, gave the account of all these terrible things that were going to happen. But right there in that account, he gives the hope of the church, that those who do not follow the mark of the beast, but rather the mark of the Lamb, that remember that they are baptized children of God, remember that the Antichrist, the devil, this world, cannot ultimately claim those who have the mark of Christ. You have that mark. You have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You belong to Jesus. So today we celebrate something that the church has celebrated for centuries. In fact, there are many churches throughout the entirety of the world named after this day and this event, St. John before the Latin Gate. You will find churches named that throughout the world. So whether you have heard it for the first time tonight, or whether you knew about this already, take heart. Whether or not this fully happened, John clung to Jesus. And when Jesus was ready to call him out of this life, then he called him to himself. And the same is true for you and for me. It's not according to our time. It's according to his. The traditional Old Testament lesson for the night, the first lesson, is from the book of Sirach. Again, that's one of those things that many of you have heard about before, but others have not. And I will encourage you this coming fall to come to Sunday morning Bible study, where we'll be going through the Deuterocanon, the books of the Apocrypha. These books that are in the Greek Old Testament prior to Jesus walking in the flesh. Now, this book was written by a son, Joshua, or Jesus, son of Eleazar, son of Sirach, Ben Sirach. This book is also called Ecclesiasticus and sometimes Wisdom. Whether or not it is completely inspired by the Holy Spirit, or it is a good book that shows the wisdom of people who believe in Jesus, the Jesus that would come, Christians have read it for millennia. It is helpful for us to see the wisdom that God places. It is one of those books that Luther continued to include in the Bible. And that if you have a German Bible published by Concordia Publishing House into the early 20th century, you will find this book right in the middle of the scriptures. It is helpful, but we do not draw doctrine if it's only found there. These are a part of our traditions as Lutherans, as a part of the Church Catholic. But our salvation does not rest on them. We believe, just as John believed, that Jesus would return. We believe, just as John believed, that when the proper time would come, then, and only then, would he call us to himself. And that this life is just a blip when you compare it to eternity. He was willing to suffer just like the other 11 for faith in Jesus Christ. He was willing to lay down his life that he might follow Christ. Are we willing to do the same? It's easy for us to say that in America, where we don't really have to fear anything except for maybe a snide comment when we go to church. It's not like when you gather in the Middle East or in Africa. It's not like when you gather when Islam is in control and seeks to snuff you out, or godless atheism of the USSR or China. It's not that sort of fear. So we can say that we're willing to die for Christ in the greatest country. in the country where we have the most provisions, the most fluff, everything that we need. But are we also willing to live for him? Will we allow him to dictate our lives? Will we allow him to push us forward, to refine the fattiness that we bear with us spiritually? Are we willing to go through that refining fire? Or will we be spit out in the lukewarm Christianity that we talked about on Sunday? My prayer for you, my prayer for me, my prayer for your families and my family, my prayer for this community is that they would walk with Christ, that they would follow him through the battles of this life, and that if he wills death, they would gladly submit it, knowing that it leads to Jesus. And so the church sings, "Make them apostles, heralds of your cross. Forth, let them go to tell the world of grace. Inspired by you, may they count all but loss and stand at last with joy before your face. Amen." The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.